For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans 8, 38, 39. This is how our module begins. It's module 14, and we're back to study a very important topic in Stephen Ministry training. Understanding suicide, how to help people get the care they need. I want to point out that the title is very revealing. We're saying how to help people get the care they need, implying that if they are suicidal or showing signs of being suicidal and having suicidal thoughts, that our job is simply to, and it's important, is to interpret those signs and notify the right contacts so that they receive care. It's not to give care to someone who is contemplating suicide. Very important. We'll make that distinction here. If you think back on the last couple of sessions, we started out with grief, very, very common topic, a very serious topic, affects most of us in our lifetime, if not everyone. So it is a situation where Stephen ministers would be asked to care very often, very frequently, and we would have an actual effect, and it would be helpful for us to care for someone going through grief. And then last week, we talked about depression. Depression was slightly different, only in that there are three levels of depression: mild, moderate, and severe. And Stephen ministers can be very effective when they help people who are mildly or moderately depressed. We understood from last week's discussions that once the care receiver crosses the boundary and we see an indication based on what we've learned that that care receiver may be slipping into a more serious level of depression or serious, severe depression, that would be a point when we would refer for professional care, and we would probably most likely in most cases step back based upon what that professional decides would be in the best interest of the care receiver. But now today, this topic doesn't give any wiggle room. If we're talking suicidal thoughts, more than likely anyone that hears these inferences from their care receiver is going to ultimately be recommending referral to a professional. And in most cases, even if it's a mild or a moderate type of suicidal thought situation, most cases we will probably, if not always, step back in terms of our care. Certainly we would for anyone who has a level of risk that's very high for suicide. So let's begin. We have a devotion today, and the devotion is "Nothing Can Separate Us." We already got a flavor for that when I read the passage from Romans. We're on page 333, first page of your presentation outline. Without a doubt, suicide is a very complex, painful, and deeply personal tragedy. People who are considering suicide are facing such pain that to them, death seems like a better alternative than life. How sad, how tragic, potentially. Whatever led a person to consider or attempt suicide, it is a time of great turmoil in their life, both for the person themselves and for their families, those that love them. So where can people find help and comfort when going through such a difficult time? And where can we, as caregivers, find the strength to help them? The Bible, well, yes, Jesus Christ, His Word, offers hope of God's unfailing love, the promise that no threat or tragedy can separate us from the love of Christ. Now, Paul began his chapter 8 by writing, "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus," Romans 8, verse 1. With the exception of one, and we know what it is, I believe we all do, one unforgivable sin, which is the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which is total and intense rejection of Jesus Christ. That's the only unforgivable sin. If a person persists in that sin, then they will be condemned, but they've condemned themselves. Suicide is not the unforgivable sin. But there's so many challenging issues surrounding suicide, it's good to remember a fundamental truth from God's Word. We are accepted and loved because of Jesus Christ. Not even death can separate us from the love of God. It seems to be a daunting responsibility. It may be intimidating to assume such a responsibility, but God is with us even and especially in life and death situations. Now, in this module, you're going to learn skills to respond if someone's considering suicide, skills that will help you preserve the gift of life that God has given us. You'll be like Christ to those who may want to end their lives. You'll be an embodiment of Christ's love for them. And remember, as with all your caring as a Stephen minister, Christ will be with you always as well. I want to mention just a personal observation, and it was really very touching and moving, and it just made the whole ministry worthwhile for me. I'm talking about Grief Share, just briefly. We had a member of Grief Share in one of the sessions that has already concluded, and she shared with the group that she had in the past contemplated suicide. Now, thank God she never pursued it. At the end of the session, we give a feedback form for participants, and she wrote on the bottom of her form something that was particularly moving and profound, given that knowledge we had about her. She said simply, and she checked off her own box, "I now have something to live for," which truly was a blessing to hear. So people who are at this stressful point in their lives can be blessed by the Holy Spirit, and they will be. And you can be instrumental in that process to help see that that happens. But you'll more than likely be doing it by referring them to someone who is trained to deal with these kinds of serious problems. Now I'm going to ask you to please give us a moment and let's pray. Dear Father, you are the God of all mercy and compassion. We pray for those so troubled and torn that they would consider ending their lives. Rescue them. Protect them. Send them people who care and can walk with them through the wilderness of suffering and despair to a place where they can experience hope. Help us to share your love with all who are considering suicide. Comfort and console them as only you can do. And we ask this in the name of our compassionate Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, now let's see. We're going to get into the first phase of this study tonight, determining the risk of suicide. I will say this, your Stephen leader, myself at this time, will never, never knowingly assign you as a Stephen minister to someone who's experiencing suicidal thoughts. It will not be happening if we are aware of it. See, that's the if. There exists the possibility that a care receiver situation might change, might worsen, and might lead him to contemplate suicide, even though when we assign you, that's not the case. It's not even remotely the case. So your role as a Stephen minister in this kind of situation is to, first of all, determine to the best of your ability, and that's all we're asking you to do. You're not professional. the risk of suicide, and then to work with the appropriate contacts. Some of this is going to sound familiar because we talked about crisis contacts. We've looked at that. You have a handout as to what they are for Bethlehem. But it begs going over again because this is so very, very serious a situation. Now, our emergency contacts, those individuals, myself and Pastor in our case, and some of the community contacts, 911, 988, if it's a mental health related issue, were handed out to you. And if anyone needs another copy, I can certainly provide that. See me after the study today. Secondly, we are in a position to connect our care receiver to a professional caregiver under these circumstances. So let's look at how to determine the care receiver's level of suicide risk. Real important. We're going to break into groups, and in our class, this is what we do. Take our Stephen Minister training manual with us and determine the level of risk for five hypothetical care receivers. I'm going to say before we actually get into that exercise, I'll make a few comments. You're going to use the information from your pre-class reading about the risk factors and signs of suicidal ideation and behavior. Suicidal ideation. Okay. In your pre-class reading, I just want to go back for a second and look at the definition, because I think it's as good as any I've seen, as to what ideation means. It's on page 323 in your pre-class reading. Suicidal ideation is defined as thoughts of engaging in suicide-related behavior. It can refer to a wide range of suicidal thoughts, from fleeting consideration to active preparation for suicide. Signs of suicidal ideation may include verbal statements, as well as certain behaviors, activities, or actions. Okay, try to remember that, but it kind of makes sense as you think about it. Let's go back a second now. We're going to use the information from your pre-class reading about the risk factors and signs of suicidal ideation and behavior. Consider whether each care receiver is at low, moderate, or high level risk of suicide. Look at focus note one, please, on page 333. And we go through this in the class. I ask you to read through it now and take a look at how the low risk, moderate risk, and high risk is defined. Okay. Now turn to page 334, please. More important information. Focus note two shows three areas that you need to be aware of. Summary of pre-class reading on determining suicide risk. The first sections on suicide risk factors, please read through those carefully. Signs of potential suicidal ideation, please read through those. Three factors to consider about a person's suicide plan in order to help determine risk. Specificity of the person's plan, lethality of the planned method of suicide. In other words, how lethal is it? If someone has maybe a couple of extra sleeping pills on hand, that's one level of danger. But if they have a loaded .357 Magnum revolver in their dresser, that's a whole other level of serious risk. Availability of the means and or opportunity for the planned method of suicide. So again, if it's right there in front of them, it's much more significant than if it is not. So we're considering what level the care receiver may be at. Keep focus note one and two on the back burner. You know, mark it in your book, whatever you need to do, try to remember this information, but certainly refer to it as needed. Okay. We in class go over it just like I did right now, except we have an audience to discuss any questions on those items in that focus note. Now, in the groups that we break out into, we then switch off and work through five hypothetical care receiver situations. And they're described in focus notes 3-7, pages 335-339 in your workbook. What I ask you to do, I know it's not as good as if you were in a classroom setting, but I ask you on your own, please read through each situation. Answer the questions after the situation. You know, A is the first one on page 335. Indicate what factors point to a lower suicide risk and what factors point to a higher suicide risk. And then make your best determination as to whether this is a high-level risk, a moderate risk, or a low-level risk. So these things I would ask you to please do on your own. I will share this with you. It's important that you have the answers on these, and we're not going to be actually doing it in the class. You're not going to be participating in the class, but I will tell you this, and then I want you to back into it and do the work. But in A's case, it's a high level of suicide risk. In B, it's considered moderate. In the C situation, high. In the D situation, low. And in E, moderate. I'm giving you the answers. I'm asking you to do the work that precedes those determinations. And try to forget what I just told you, but you have no way to know which one is actually correct. So I'm giving you the key and work through the situation and see why those end results are being recommended. All right. Let's see. Let me thumb through my notes for a second, please. I'm going to catch up here. Now, what you're doing is you're using your best educated judgment. You decide a risk level. And it's usually good if you have any doubt in your mind. If you think, it's either moderate or high, it's better that you err on the side of a higher risk level than it is than a lower one, because you can get into a lot of trouble doing it the other way around. So higher, if you're not sure, go higher, not lower. Remember, too, chances are, unless you have an immediate, imminent situation, a threat to the person's life right in front of you, you're going to be involving myself and Pastor. You're going to be involving the group, the Stephen Ministry peer supervision, more than likely, if there's time to do that, and definitely going to have help in making any kind of referral to a mental health professional. Now, let's examine the level of risk that you assign to each of these. Well, I can't do that with you. I'm sorry. I'm looking at what we would do in the class. But if you have any questions on what I told you are the appropriate answers once you work through these, please let me know. I'll be happy to talk about it with you. Okay, let's move to the next section. Steps to take, this is on page 340, steps to take if you believe your care receiver may be considering suicide. Okay. These are six steps that are going to come up again and again. So make sure you flag this page. Make sure you understand these steps. But I'm going to go through each one now. Once you determine your care receiver may be at risk for suicide, whether it's high, moderate, or low, get them professional help, period. What you do and how you do it depends on the level of risk. But the fact that you do it is across the board, whether it's low, moderate, or high. I mentioned that one when I started to discuss this in the beginning, introducing the topic today. Now, in your pre-class reading, the six steps were described if you think someone may be considering suicide. Let's look at each step. Step one, take any signs of suicide ideation seriously. Okay. Any signs, seriously. If your care receiver mentions suicide or displays signs of suicidal ideation, take the situation very seriously. You know, it's possible your care receiver might come right out and say, I'm thinking of taking my life. I'm killing myself. But it's more likely that the person won't say it that bluntly, and they will hint at suicidal intentions through their things they say or maybe their behaviors. Now, focus note 9, page 340. Here are some of the things that you might hear, some of the phrases you might hear, some of the sentences you might hear. I mean, there's one right at the top, I'm going to kill myself. That's pretty clear. But then there's others that maybe not be quite as blunt and obvious. Life has lost all meaning for me. I'm no good to anyone. I hate to face each day more and more. Those kinds of things are not saying it, but they're saying it in a different way, very possibly. If you hear a statement like one of these, or observe any sign, other sign, of possible suicidal ideation, it's extremely important that you take it seriously and respond. Don't just say, well, they're having a bad day. I'm sure they don't mean anything more than that. Taking that kind of risk can be extremely devastating to your care receiver in the worst case scenario. And we have to plan for the worst case, although you're likely never to see it. So it's important that you take it seriously and respond. Recognizing and following up on one of these signs may help save someone's life. Step two, ask. Are you considering suicide? You have to be able to look the person in the eyes and ask that question. It is not easy to do, but it's vitally important. Focus note 10 is on page 341 in your workbook. Asking whether a care receiver is considering suicide, a couple of different ways to do it. I'm worried about what you said. Are you considering suicide? Have you been thinking about suicide? Very simply put, but very direct. You're asking and you want to ask a closed-ended question. So many times we urge you to ask open-ended questions because they're better in many, many cases, in most cases of caregiving in Stephen Ministry and even in other types of caregiving. Here, we want to go right to the chase. We don't want a lot of open-ended, vague responses, generalized responses. We want to know. We have to know. So the response that you want is either a yes or a no. Do all you can to encourage your care receiver to express their thoughts and plans as you continue through the steps. That's the word I wanted. Now, if your care receiver answers no, you can express your concern, confirm again that they're not considering suicide, and pick up your conversation from before. But you need to be very sure and confident that they're not considering killing themselves. Ask about a plan. Step three. Okay, still on page 341. Focus note 11. Take a look at that. Very simply, here's a possible way to approach that. Very straightforward. How have you been thinking you would end your life? How have you been thinking you would end your life? And so, okay, how? In other words, what's the means? Ask about any specific plans and discuss their thoughts and feelings in detail as much as you can get. Use your active listening skills. You're going to use open-ended questions again. Encourage the care receiver to say more. You want to know, first of all, are they even considering it? Yes or no? If they are, though, you want to get more out of them. You have to determine the level of risk. You want to find out, and we can proceed looking at it this way. You want to find out if a suicide plan is yes, you need to get information about what that plan is, as much information, in fact, as you can. In your pre-class reading, you discussed using follow-up questions to get details, such as the specificity of the person's plans. What are they really planning to do? Whether or not they have the means available, again, you may have a couple of sleeping pills, or even if you have a few in a bottle, they're not as lethal as a loaded gun. Whether or not they have that means available, that's the other thing. They may have a loaded gun, but it's in a safe in some other building somewhere, that's unlikely, but still, whether they have the means available. Is it right here? Do you have it in your home? Okay. How lethal those means are, a gun is very lethal. In fact, I think somewhere in your reading it said that that's the most likely way people will choose to end their life, more likely than many other ways. Okay. Step four, determine the level of suicide risk. The information you get from your care receiver can help you determine whether they're at a low level of risk, moderate, or high level of attempting suicide. And once you determine this, you can decide the next course of action, of course. Always, always err on the side of caution when it comes to suicide risk. I think we mentioned that. If you have any doubts about your assessment of the situation, and that's another thing, if you can, obviously, contact me, contact Pastor. You really shouldn't be making these decisions alone unless you are there and things are going down fast. And we'll talk about that. But if you've got any doubts, err on the side of a higher level of risk. Is this moderate or is this severe or high? I would go high if you've got questions, and we'll talk about it. Okay. Step five, convey that you want the person to stay alive. You know, more than anything, before you take action, let your care receiver know you care about them, you love them, you want them to live. You want to offer that love and hope because they may not get it from anywhere else. So you want to give them that lifeline to hold on to in the midst of so much pain that they're going through. This may also help the care receiver to reconsider those thoughts, those suicidal thoughts. Hey, someone really cares about me. This is good. Well, it's better than I thought. It might be worth hanging around for. So let's read Focus Note 12 for some ways you can say that you want your care receiver to stay alive. 12 is on page 341, and there are three or four ways that you can, you know, use, and you can use any others, but there are some ideas for you. Please read them through. Words like those in that focus note can help reduce a person's immediate suicidal impulses. Remember, you read suicidal thoughts kind of come in waves and they're impulses. They don't last a long time, chances are. But this will give you a little time, hopefully, to connect the person with the appropriate level of help, the appropriate help. Step six, help connect the person to the care they need. Now we're on page 342. If a care receiver has been considering suicide, they need professional help. Nothing short of it. Whatever level of risk. The suicide risk level helps you to know what kind of help the person needs and how urgent the need is, but that they need professional help is a given, no matter what level. The risk you assess the risk at. Now, if the immediate, let's talk about the risk and our reaction. If the immediate risk is high, that is, if you think your care receiver has a plan, they have a means, and the intention to attempt suicide very soon, the need for help is urgent. There's no question. You don't call Pastor, you don't call me, you call 911 and stay with your care receiver until help arrives. Depending on what's going on, I know we have the alternative in Cuyahoga County to call 988. You remember that, and especially for mental health and suicidal issues. But depending on how urgent it is, and if you're really concerned this person's going to do something to hurt themselves, you don't want to go that route either. You want to call medical professionals in so they can take this completely off your hands and ensure that the person has help, the help they need. So stay with your care receiver. That's another thing, don't leave them. Stay with your care receiver until help arrives to ensure that they're safe. Then contact our crisis contacts, which is, again, myself and Pastor. Now, as you read in your pre-class reading, suicidal impulses, here we go, usually come in waves and they last for a short period of time. Connecting your care receiver with 911 helps to ensure their immediate safety. It also paves the way for getting them connected with ongoing care that can begin to address the underlying issues that prompted them to go in the direction of taking their life. Now, if the immediate risk is moderate, if your care receiver has a general idea how they might commit suicide, but doesn't have the means nor any intention of taking action in the immediate future, you will still need to get the person professional care. Without a doubt, you will. You would not call 911 because the person isn't in immediate danger. So you're assessing that they're not. You may call 988. Yeah, that would be a good call, but not emergency services necessarily at that point. Be as sure as you can that your care receiver agrees to professional help. You can't force people. But the problem is, if you call and make a call like this, and you call 911 and you tell them what the situation is, in an urgent situation, they're going to come out. Can the person refuse the care? Yeah, but if it's an attempted suicide, they're going to urge them to go with them. If it's not as urgent as that, 988 might be a good alternative. Make sure your care receiver agrees to receive professional help. Once the visit is ended, talk with the crisis contacts here at Bethlehem. And what you're going to do then is begin the process of making a referral to a mental health professional. That's at the level under or lower than high risk, where you would automatically be getting them into an ambulance for transport. You wouldn't, but the people would that are coming. If the immediate risk is low, your care receiver has thought about suicide, doesn't seem to have any particular plan, talk with your care receiver, get them to promise to call someone if they begin to feel suicidal. Who's the someone? Pastor, myself, yourself, trusted family member, the hotline, 988. I mean, there's a lot of alternatives if they feel they are at that point. And you would urge them, really urge them, to use those alternatives. Then talk with the care receiver about getting professional help. And again, you're going to call, at that point, you're going to consult with our crisis contacts ASAP. Don't put it off. Consult with our crisis contacts soon afterwards to discuss getting the care receiver to a mental health professional, because you're going to get help on that. You're not alone on that at all. Let's look at focus note 13. It's a flow chart. It looks familiar. And it is the confidentiality module's flow chart. It shows the process for getting the care receiver additional help. Take a moment to look it over, please, and you'll see how it moves through the different levels of action. You know, one thing I want to point out, if you encourage the care receiver to make the contact for help and they decline, then you suggest that you'll make the contact and they decline that. Say you will make the contact out of concern for them. They decline that. The care receiver declines that. Make the contact without their permission. This is so serious that you have no alternative. Confidentiality remains intact. The circle of confidentiality has been widened a bit because it needs to be to protect their life. This process can be used for all three levels of suicide risk. High risk, you call EMS, Emergency Medical Services, or 911, then the crisis contacts. Low to moderate risk, the first contact would be the crisis contacts. And then hopefully you'll see how you can make a referral in that mode, in going that mode. Focus notes 14, 15, and 16 on pages 343, 44 outline more specific steps to take to provide the appropriate kind of care for each level of risk. So 14 steps to take if the suicide risk is high, 15 if it's moderate, and 16 if it's low. In class, we go through them. Please go through them on your own very carefully. And then the question is, do you have any questions? And I'm sure we will have some. And I suspect you might have some as you read through this very important and difficult information. So please contact me. And if you do have questions, and let's talk about it. Final note. Be sure to have the emergency suicide hotline information with you at all times. This was already gone over in Module 11. I reiterate, have it with you. Have it in your phone, however you need to have it. It's easy to remember, though. They did a good thing in Cuyahoga County. Rather than a big, long, you know, 25-digit number, that wouldn't be quite that long, it's just 988. You know, 911, 988 for mental and other types of referrals. Okay. That's also, you know, it's also helpful to have other resources available. Remember, it's not all mental health that we're referring, although right here under this topic, we're talking mental health referral. Okay, we take a break at this point in our class. And when we're coming back from that break, there are three skill practices. And we form groups and we go through these skill practices. So the skill practices are helping persons considering suicide to get the help they need. And what happens is each member takes a role. So the Stephen Minister situation, they look at it, they decide, okay, this is what the situation is. The care receiver's description for skill practice one, you have that information. And then you also have, for each skill practice, the focus note questions under question 20 on page 346, discussion questions for the skill practices. And so we work through all three, and we come back, and we go through the discussion questions in class. It's kind of hard to do that on your own, but I do ask you to read through it and try to understand, you know, what the best way to proceed is in each case. The bottom line is helping persons who are contemplating suicide get the help they need. Okay. One of the things I do ask at the end of this is if anyone has had a difficulty, was there anyone at all in the group that didn't know how to proceed, in this particular situation? And if so, what was the situation and what did you do? And then I would ask, you know, anyone else have any ideas about how to handle the situation as well? Okay. That brings to close this module. It's a tough one, but it's so important that you understand how to react in the very rare situation where you may have someone who is contemplating taking their own life. Remember, when you have someone who's depressed, sometimes if that depression gets bad enough and they're not under professional care quick enough, it can escalate into suicidal thoughts. So do the best you can. God is with you. We're with you. You have good information here. Please study it. Keep it close to you. And know that you're never, ever alone. God is always with you in these decisions, and so are your crisis contacts. So you don't have to make decisions by yourself unless you're in an extreme situation. And then you know. It's very simple. It's 911, possibly 988. But 911 in an urgent situation. And God bless you for being willing to be aware and being ready for something that could conceivably happen that could threaten a life. Now, we don't go over the caregiver's compass, certainly not every time we have a class or a topic. But today, I just thought it would be helpful because we look at that caregiver's compass, and it's on page 350 in your book. And just remember some of the characteristics of a Stephen minister: compassionate, full of faith, skilled, and trustworthy. Without a doubt, these past modules, especially the one on depression and this one, point to these qualities with Christ at the center guiding us along the way that we must use and use well in these areas. Compassionate, that's what we're talking about. It's all about compassion. We're trying to save a life. We're trying to show love for that Christian person or whoever we're caregiving to that is really in a bad situation. Full of faith, we know Christ can help. He will help. He will get us through this with our care receivers, and we have the means to direct them in the proper direction. Then that's where skill comes in too, because you've learned a lot of the methods that could be used and the direction that should be taken and the signs to look for. So the skills are there and we're imparting them the best we can to you. And trustworthy? Absolutely. You've been entrusted to help someone in a very difficult situation. You've been given the means and the understanding of how best to do it, and God is with you. So trustworthy, you trust in God, your care receiver can trust in you. And when we work together, without a doubt, lives can be saved. So God bless you as you proceed. And if you ever are in a situation like this, thank you for knowing the right way to proceed and being willing to do it. Okay, looking ahead, we're up to module 15. We're making wonderful progress. I think we have about 5 lessons left to this training program. Module 15 is bringing the caring relationship to a close. You might ask, why are we doing that? We're not at the end of the training. That's right. But the way Stephen Ministry looks at this, and it makes sense if you think about it, they want to cover certain topics and leave to the very end, as close as to the end as possible, the topic about how to make the first caring visit, because it's as close as they can get to the day when you will actually make your first caring visit. That's the way they do it. Otherwise, it would be logical to look at how to make your first caring visit before how to close your visit or how to close your relationship. So it makes sense. So bringing the caring relationship to a close, the pre-class reading. By the way, we are starting the second book, Red Book, volume 2, pages 351 to 366. And also look over the appendix A and B in the reading. Thank you for your attention. And in class, we will have some pretty helpful discussion. And again, I open up the possibility for you to call me and let's talk or meet if you have any questions at all about this material. Let's close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, you care for us in our darkest times. You brighten our darkness with the gift of Jesus, and you walk alongside us in our pain, working through the care of our sisters and brothers in Christ. Grant us the gift of hope so that we always know you are with us, caring for us, loving us. Shine in us and through us, and use us to bring your light of hope into other people's very dark places. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your willingness to work through this material, and God bless you. We'll be back next week for module 15.